All right, welcome everybody. You're on Yotton International Radio, listening to Flagship Digital Insights with myself, Ben Taylor. And today's guest is Ben Martin from HKS. And we'll just dive straight into it. Ben, if you'd like to introduce yourself so we know where this is coming from, that would be amazing.
Okay, so my name's Ben Martin, not to be confused with the other one. And my focus within the company called HKS, which is a large architecture and design firm, is leading the hospitality advisory team. And so therefore, a large proportion of my work is helping people understand if the project that they're looking at developing actually has a strong vision, whether there's a market for it, and whether or not it might actually stand up economically. And if all of those three things are going to overlap, then actually you've got a project which is worth taking forward. So that involves me keeping an eye on various trends, getting into grips with what's happening in various markets, and also then running numbers to see if the things are actually going to work. So that's the core of what I'm involved with day to day.
Right, okay. And how involved are you with the marine ledger space? What sorts of projects do you do?
I have to say, I've been doing this for just over 25 years now, more than 300 studies across more than 50 countries. And by far, my favorite studies involve working with folk in the marine leisure sector. And I think it's either them or the Gulf people. And I think it's because it involves being outside a lot. You've got the sort of the ebb and flow of the tide. You're out in the fresh air. It's generally bright sunshine. Let's face it, boats are beautiful. Everything about it tends to be a nice kind of vibe. So whenever there's a marina component, I generally have to smile and say, yeah, I'll take that on. That sounds great. But it's allowed me to get involved with some pretty cool projects over the years. I was involved on one of the first site visits in 2006 or seven with Oliver Corlett when they were umming and ahhing about the purchase of the naval base in Tivat in Montenegro. I did 12 studies in the development and strategic planning for Porto Montenegro. Before that, I got involved with looking at the refurbishment of the yacht club in Costa Smeralda, which isn't too shabby, at Porto Cervo. And then also marinas in Larnaca and Limassol. I was involved in looking at the commercial space behind the marina there in Limassol. And closer to home in St. Helier in Jersey and then in Wexford in Ireland. So not all my projects have a marina component, but I do love the ones that do. It's a lovely bunch of people. So it's great to be talking to you today.
Yeah, it's so going across yachting. It's just like, well, actually we're here just because we love yachting. We love the whole boating scene. We could go to a different
thing. If you talk to people involved with hotels, and of course, a lot of projects have got a hotel because it needs the overnight accommodation. The hotel crew, I love them, but it's a bit of a club. And if you didn't go to the right sort of hotel college and da-da-da-da, then you're not quite in the club. And if you're working looking at retail or office, an office in particular, most of them are wearing suits and ties, and you kind of have to put your tie on because it's a bunch of surveyors and it's a sort of bit more serious. Whereas when you go out and you're having chats with the yachties, you can kind of get away with a t-shirt and chinos and some sunnies, and then you're off somewhere having a chat on the waterfront, and it's just the whole experience is much nicer, just generally.
Definitely its own world, yeah, for sure. Right, okay, so into the digital insights sort of arena. So what trends have you observed over the last few years in the marine leisure and the travel space, especially relating to digital?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're really seeing, and it's a great benefit to the marine leisure sector and the take-up of marine leisure sector opportunities and demand for it, is the way that technology can demystify some of the voodoo associated with things like navigation. Of course, it's still important to have a fundamental understanding of bearings and charts and all the rest of it, but the ability to basically, in the car, you've got your phone, you see where you're going, and if you've got an electronic system here with navigation, which shows a bathymetry, it's got all the warning lights, you can set a wonderful autopilot. All of a sudden, it means that people who might have been scared of doing that before, with a little bit of guidance and some tuition, can start getting into it, and it makes it much easier. And the other thing we're seeing, which is very important from my perspective, because I'm involved with development and development planning, is a gradual shift away from single hull to CATS, because of course the water area required in a marina is going to be much bigger, and that impacts how much you're going to charge per berth, whether you're charging on an area rather than by length, or 1.5 times what you would normally charge for a monohull. But of course, that gives people more living space. So the trend towards wider boats, beanier boats and cats is something that we're seeing in the market. And that has implications for development because of that capacity issue in relation to the master planning of new projects. A general shift away from sailing to cruisers, simply because it requires less know-how and yeah. less knowledge and experience, which personally I think is a bit of a shame. I prefer doing the sailing. Having said that, I'm not sure I've ever been cruising in the way that most people cruise, but you know, last summer I was actually sailing in Croatia. I had some brilliant sailing, and it was I loved the sailing. And the people we were with were staggered by the fact that we actually wanted to sail. And yeah. it was like, well, you know, frankly, it's great fun. And then the other thing, of course, from a design perspective, and then from an economics perspective, is increasing discussions about the use of dry stack. And as boats get wider and beamier, you're thinking even harder about the amount of space you have in the water and what boats you want to have in the water. And then you can start introducing to people who may never have considered it, the idea of having a dry stack and how that can be effective both for the operator and the marina, but also for the owner in terms of the reduced maintenance cost and the convenience and all of those good things. And the fact that it doesn't necessarily need to be an ugly building. There are some pretty cool solutions about the way that you can hide things and put facades on to make it quite attractive within the environment of your marina waterfront. So those are some big things. But I think, you know, potentially, and we'll get to it later, I think the marine leisure sector is a good one to be in. So congratulations, everybody. I think you're compared to many things today.
Yeah,
I think you're probably in not a bad space right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite interesting. And do you see consumers and the space that they're in interacting a lot more with technology when compared to a few years ago? And do you think it's kind of encouraged that, and it's going to speed up that process?
Yeah, I think the whole emphasis on social media and recognizing, in fact, my next phone call is to do with how do we, as an architectural firm, manage our social media communication.
Right. Okay.
And the fact that we're here, we're connecting through LinkedIn and all the rest of it. We can't ignore it. We actually have a question about the degree to which people are really even reading magazines much anymore, certainly in the world of architecture and development. Everything, you know, it's very hard to deal with that. But and so the implication of that is onboard Wi-Fi, and then on the land, recognizing the creation of Instagrammable moments on the waterfront on the quayside. So that there is, and just by way of example, I mentioned it before, in Porto Montenegro, there's the beautiful beach club with this, I think it was called Scaramanga, with the amazing pool, which is an infinity edge, and then it had a massive frame in it, and the frame frames the sunset between two hills when it goes down.
Beautiful.
Absolutely stunning setup, but it wasn't done by accident. But that is makes such a difference. And from another example, a lot of people know about Marina Bay Sands Hotel, right, in Singapore. And it's the one with the towers and the pool on the roof, right? It's a huge hotel. And by all intents and purposes, their marketing budget should be about $1 million a year. As it happens, they don't spend a single penny on marketing, because even if you just go Singapore on Google, chances are, if you go to images, you'll see a picture somebody's taken on Instagram of the view across from Marina Bay Sands. Bingo. Wow. Yeah. You know, you've arrived. You save yourself a lot of money. And that kind of, I mean, it's almost guerrilla marketing is something that you can't ignore. So factor it in.
Yeah. Yeah. And Instagram seems to be continually getting stronger and stronger. And I think the age demographic is now starting to rise as the next generation's on things like TikTok, but that's not quite our market yet. And actually, they are the consumers of the future, or very, very soon, especially with the rise of technology companies. They are going to want to put it on their social media profile, and that I suppose it acts as a testimonial rather than just a photograph or a stamp of approval. It's actually, I'm here and I am loving it. Which the hidden message in the marketing is, why aren't you here? Come here. Yeah. Which is beautiful, right?
And also, just again, compared to so many sectors, if you're working in the marine leisure sector and you can't take good photographs, then for heaven's sake, what?
Right. I mean,
seriously, if you were working in the warehousing industry, or even, you know, to one extreme, data centers. Data centers is a good business right now, right? Because everybody's online and everybody's working from home, and we all need more capacity. Yeah. And HKS is involved with the design of data centers, and it's, of course, it's the strongest sector right now in terms of growth of the architecture that the company is working on. But in terms of beautiful pictures,
it's just that's a beautiful number. And a whole lot of them. Yeah. Right, okay. So look, you're working quite closely with the hospitality sector internationally. Could you give us some insight into the impacts of the pandemic without going too much into COVID-19? And what tends to arise in the kind of travel behavior and what we're likely to see in the next 12 months?
Yeah, so apart from data centers and a few others like warehouse deliveries, most people are getting completely clobbered right now. And that is likely to continue for the foreseeable future. Everybody's got their hopes that 2021 will be a better year. In fact, in my LinkedIn, I'm doing a countdown now to the end of 2020. I was hoping it was going to be a really good year, but now I'm really looking forward to 2021 because, you know, let's hope it's marginally better, because it can't be much worse. But I think what we're going to see probably to start with is, if you're involved in that sort of business, that you're going to be focusing on domestic business. It's going to be people coming locally, because that avoids the requirement and the tensions associated with international travel, with going to airports. And so I was on the phone yesterday to people in Norway. 98% of their demand through the summer was from Norwegians. And it was the same in the UK. It's about people rediscovering the countries in which they live. Now, within the marine leisure sector, again, it's going to be slightly different, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But the chances are, if your demand for your facility had been 40% international visitors, then the chances are that that's going to be 5% or even less. So focus on the local market to start with, and that's tactical marketing. Recognizing that, we're also going to see, certainly in the wider hospitality sector, there'll be less people traveling for business. So if you've got a business hotel, then that's a bit of a struggle right now, because, you know, like us, rather than meeting in person, we're doing a lot of transaction on the internet and through Zoom. And there's going to be companies who are slightly anxious about having to send people unnecessarily overseas to do business. So if you can do it from home, then as your employer, then I'm going to suggest that you do it from home. So I'm not taking a risk with you sending you, and if we can do it another way, we'll do it another way, rather than putting anybody at risk. So business will come a little bit later on, and it's most likely that there will be folk who have to travel, but a lot of that will be the sort of that's less likely to be the luxury end of the market, because the luxury end of the market, and certainly in serviced accommodation, is much more about a choice. I choose to go on holiday somewhere, and I choose to go somewhere luxury. If I have to go to have a meeting at my data center developer, then I will stay in somewhere, and it is a business trip. But I won't necessarily, I'll be staying in a 3-star, 2-star kind of facility, rather than staying in a 5-star, because it's not that kind of business trip, most likely, to some degree. And then, of course, the other win is going to be ones where you're able to maintain your bubble. And that's where things like your Airbnbs are going to be booked out. And people who are glamping works well with that. If you're staying in a feather down farm kind of facility, or a dome, or a tree house, whatever it is, again, you're able to stay inside your bubble. And then, of course, you're able to stay inside your bubble in a canal boat, or possibly in a yacht or a cruiser. So that actually is a positive, thinking ahead to how summer might be for people working in the marine leisure sector.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go into a bit more about HKS and your approach to things. So you're primarily a design firm. On your website, there's values like exploring and testing ideas. Curiosity comes up and challenging norms. Tinkering and even failing and just saying, hey, look, that didn't work, but we tried it. And through that, creating these amazing environments for people, wherever that might be. So how has that changed during 2020, really? And where do you see it going?
Yeah. One of the biggest questions for anybody who's involved in development of any sort is trying to figure out now whether they should be making temporary amendments to what they do and how they do it, or their plans, or whether they should be making permanent ones. And if you can crystal ball on that one, then happy days, right? But it is a challenge. So there's operational fixes, which we're getting involved with, certainly in the advisory group, and with regard to the hospitality sector, where there's a lot of personal contact involved, and that's to do with, you know, are you reevaluating the way that you're doing check-in? Are you having perspex screens? Are you having temperature check systems at reception? Are you able to do contactless? How do you do contactless? How do you serve your food? All of those points of contact have to be reevaluated. And for those people who are generally, we're encouraging people to sort of sit tight and hang on a little bit, rather than making changes that are so radical to their design that actually it has a danger that it might impact the quality of the experience. Because one thing we don't want to compromise on is the quality of the experience. And if we can come up with technological or design fixes that are going to make us work with COVID-19, so COVID-safe living, if you like, then that, of course, is a desirable solution. Because, yes, it's COVID-19. What about COVID-2021? What about COVID-2022? Blah, blah, blah. And so with regard to that, there are some design changes which are happening. The degree to which they're going to start impacting the marine leisure sector will be interesting to see. It's much more significant probably for the cruise sector than for smaller vessels, definitely. But that essentially is things like air circulation is vitally important. So if you're designing somebody's second home or a beautiful villa in some resort somewhere, the idea of having much better air circulation is important, with the sort of the heating, the ventilation and the air conditioning systems need to be upgraded to a way that they weren't before. The idea that you need to have flexible space, because all of a sudden you might find that you're in your dining room, but all of a sudden your dining room is actually now your office, and can it work as both?
Right.
The idea that possibly if you were selling somebody a lovely villa on the south coast of France, actually having a hobby room might be quite a good thing, because if you go into lockdown and you have to be inside your lovely villa for 4 weeks and your hobby happens to be building cars, then you could build yourself an AC Cobra or whatever it is in the garage or whatever, or a ship in a bottle, and actually have a hobby to stop yourself going kind of nuts in your own hobby space. But then sort of practical things outdoor living, we're going to be spending more time outside because it's a better place to do that. And then, of course, making sure that the technology is bang up to date. And that can come, again, from taking temperatures through to actually just having blisteringly fast internet connections, so that there's no holdups and there's no inconvenience associated with the technology. So there's quite a lot of changes that can be done both physically and technologically in the way that we're designing hospitality. And that's starting to happen. It's also happening on an urban level, thinking about the way houses are grouped and the way you can actually isolate areas of a town and they can operate independently with corner shops. The irony is it sort of heads back towards the way that villages were 200, 300 years ago, right? Mm. And we've almost come full circle. It's fascinating to see. But no, there are design changes and there are tech changes. But the big question is and remains, how temporary do those need to be? or how permanent do you make them? Because if you spend an awful lot of money and make a permanent change, and then we get a vaccine in January, then you could have spent an awful lot of money for a building that may not actually work as well as it would have done beforehand. And yeah, that's the day.
This is a little bit off-paced. I'm not sure how involved you've got in this, but what do you have you explored the kind of virtual reality and augmented reality space as an entertainment type or in creating an environment for someone in that situation?
Yeah. So in terms of augmented reality, we've been working with it in design, testing designs for 2 or 3 years in terms of its impact on leisure behavior. I think the biggest trend that we've been working with, and again, it was something that was kind of happening before, but now it's been compressed and accelerated. It's like we're under this pressure cooker environment. And it affects the way we're working from home. Right? We all knew that it was probably okay to work from home, but now we've been forced to work from home. So we've had to make the tech work so that we can work from home effectively. But one of the ones that has been important to HKS, we have a very large sports division. And they do some extraordinary, gorgeous stadiums in all around the world. Lots in the States because of the college system, of course. But and we've been exploring for several years now the advent of esports. And esports venues effectively is an enclosed space with very good tech, which allows you to participate in something like Wimbledon, except you're sat in Dubai, for example. You can say there's an enormous IMAX, or the crowd gets piped in. You're probably sharing the experience with other people. You may have 1,000 people in the room with you. And one afternoon you can be looking at Wimbledon. The next day it can be Formula One. The next day it can be a football match. Gives you a massive amount of flexibility, but it recognizes the fact that people do still like to gather together to have a shared experience for some sports activities. So esports is a big focus for us right now. And we're working with a lot of very sort of high-end organizations associated with the sports world who are just getting into it and just figuring out how to make it work. And most of the Premier League teams now have an esports associated department to it. Right, okay. You're going to see much more of that. So yes, tech is definitely having an impact on that. But I think importantly, certainly with regard to tourism-related and leisure-related activities, nature, and it's partly a personal view, nature will always win the day. So 4D is lovely and all the rest of it, but the ability to dive off the side of your yacht in the blisteringly clear waters south of Corsica or whatever, if that's going to be hard to replace. So I don't know, VR has a role to play, sure, and certainly in lockdown it has a role to play, but it ain't ever going to replace the stunning quality of a real experience.
Yeah, a kind of a good replacement, that's specifically the wrong word, a good alternative. And yes. So if that's second place, it's kind of a support of interactions with sports.
I think one of the things that we're seeing, and this may be important for the listeners here, is people's tolerance of reading large quantities of text. And believe me, because I'm involved in preparing reports a lot, and it kind of bothers me because we have such a rich language, and to dumb it down, it always disappoints me. But it's actually more to do with having precise English. But being able to share video clips and things with people is hugely important. And if you are marketing an experience associated with marine leisure and able to give people the 360-degree explore it on your phone experience, or the video clip, or even the VR wear it on your face job, to explore a boat that they may potentially be chartering for something, is definitely important. So it has a role to play and assist, but it will never replace, I hope not, the full experience of getting out there and doing it one day for real, face mask on or face mask off. But that comes back to the bubble question, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're towards the end, and I like to finish on the kind of future progression projections and what we think things may happen. So in terms of architecture, do you think the path that it was on has actually changed quite significantly because of the pandemic? And to keep to digital, do you see digital maintaining a part in that architecture?
Digital is definitely here to stay, and it has a very useful role to play. I was on a call yesterday, and you can tell I've been having to do a bit of work recently focusing on glamping. And glamping is an interesting one, because the weird thing is what we're talking about here is providing people with an experience which in many ways is very basic. And it goes, there's a spectrum from sort of bring your own tent leisure to staying in a nice tent in a glamping environment, which has probably got running water and may have a solid floor, through to what you might call a suite without walls, effectively. But even if you're staying in a safari tent somewhere in the Malvern Hills, the chances are you're probably spending more on that than you would do staying in a hotel in Great Malvern. Yeah. And that comes down to experience, and the idea that people really want an experience right now. And I think that's just a reflection on the maturity of the sector. In many ways, there's a whole bunch of folk out there who've traveled a lot, and in the world of marine leisure, they may have been to their destination two or three times before. And they're thinking about how can we enhance the experience? What do we do to make that experience better? And it may actually be simplicity could actually be part of the next luxury. When you look at some of the market leaders in the hospitality world, like the Amand or the Cheval Blancs, and you look at the fit out and interiors, beautifully done, but actually quite simple. And I think part of the issue there is that life is so complex, and we generally have so much stuff knocking around, that actually going somewhere which is a beautifully done, there's not an awful lot of furniture, but the furniture that there is absolutely fabulous, and the tech, there may only be one light switch, but actually it's easy to understand, and it works really, really well, rather than having, and some of the hotel brands, which I won't mention, are guilty of this. You have 16 different types of ambient lighting options, and all you want to do is turn the light on to go to the washrooms in the middle of the night, right? And just trying to find the right, how do I turn the light on, can actually be one bit of tech too far.
Yeah.
So I think with regard to tech has definitely a role to play, but we mustn't over tech so that it actually becomes a real pain in the whatnots, because there's actually simplicity can also be luxury if it's done well. So let's keep text doing bang on what it should be doing, but let's recognize the fact that most of us aren't Silicon Valley nerds, and we do struggle a little bit. So let's use it to serve, in the same way that I was talking about the navigation support. You know, it actually makes it simpler and makes it better for people, and therefore it has a strong role to play.
Yeah, and just using it to serve, it's amazing. Right, okay, Ben. That's really intriguing stuff. Thank you so much for coming on. And you're welcome back anytime. That offer's certainly there. But thank you for visiting us.
That's lovely to be here. And again, I just, as a final thing for this particular sector, you guys have the opportunity for people to travel in a bubble. So compared to many, you're in a really good place, provided people can get through the airport experience and the flight experience or the car, however they get to you. Once they're there, if they're mostly staying on board, that's great. And then the other bit that I mentioned before is that nature will win every time when it comes down to an experience. So again, you're in the right place. So it's a great sector to be working in, and let's hope 2021 is slightly better than 2020, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's with you on that one. All right. All right. Everybody, you've been listening to Flagship Digital Insights with myself, Ben Taylor, on Yachting International Radio. Our guest this week's been Ben Martin from HKS. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you again soon.